Okay, this Shabbos we have the privilege of reading Parshas Emor, and of course it begins with a lot of the rules concerning the Kohanim. Today's Kohanim, we're told, are commanded not to become Tameh. But notwithstanding the ability to perform the Avodah, these rules remain into effect. In addition, the Kohen is given the chance to say Birchas Kohanim, at which time they recite a Tefillah, noting that they did, as we noted in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah series yesterday, that the Kohen says a tefillah, Asinu Masha Gozarta Aleinu, we did that which you commanded us. Now why is Birkas Kohanim such a command? It seems like an opportunity. The late great Kohen, Rav Pamzatzal, cited the Binyan Shalom of the Rav Shlomo Levilner, who suggested that it was a gezerah that allowed even the Kohen who was a sinner to ascend the Duchen, unless he had taken his a life. Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh, the Gemara tells us, a Kohen who killed somebody, he is the only one who, Lo Yisas Kapov, who should not Duchen. So Rav Pam explains, lest the Kohen consider himself inadequate to offer a bracha in front of a distinguished assemblage, let's say he's a regular fellow and he's standing in front of the Gedolei Ador, he can still tell Hashem, Asinu Masha Gazarta, it was a gezerah that you commanded to the Kohen. It gives him the ability to stand up and do his job and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the same way I stood up and did mine, Asisa Masha Gazarta as well, you should do what you promised, Hashkifa Mima Unkachacha, look down upon us and give us a bracha. Torah tells us in regard to some of the rules of the Kohuna, Ubas Kohen, when a daughter of a Kohen commits adultery, she gets the penalty of Sreifa. The Bas Kohen who engages in adultery is Ba'ish Tisareif. Now, why do all other adulteresses receive Chenek, and she, just because she's the daughter of a Kohen, gets Sreifa? Why do we bump her penalty up two levels, from Chenek past Herek into Sreifa? So the late, great Rosh Yeshiva of RJJ, Rav Zadel Epstein Zatzal, who quotes the Alter of Kelm Zatzal, who explained that the Pasuk provides the reason. The Torah tells us, Ubas Kohen Kisechel Isnos. When a person is a person of higher station in life, then more is demanded of them. When one person grows up in a home of Kedusha and or Kahuna, and is raised in a home built on the foundations of Torah, of Avoda, and Gemilas Hasadim, right, so then more is expected of each one of them by Hashem. And that's true, and therefore the punishment for violation perhaps could be more severe. But then again, at the same time, so is the potential for reward. Rav Zadel tells us that that's what happens over here with the woman who is the Kohen, the Bas Kohen. She came from a home where this was the opposite. She needs to line up and respond accordingly. Torah tells us that when the Kohen becomes Tameh, Umen HaMikdash Lo Yetze, right? When he should not leave the Mikdash when the Kohen Gadol should become an Avel. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Yud Ches Amud Beis notes that the Kohen Gadol would actually leave. He would follow the bier of a departed relative, but Heim Nechnasim Vehu Yotze, Hu Nechnas Vehem Yotzim, that he would follow from a distance that he would not be very clear. Now, we don't find such a scripted distancing in any other case, at least as identified in the Torah. So why are we so careful with where he goes, where they go, where he goes, etc.? Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explained that the Kohen Gadol was the national symbol of Kedusha and Tara. He was the natural symbol of holiness and purity. And everyone looked to him to know how to behave in all situations, including grief. And so if that's the case, the Kohen Gadol needed to be extra careful in his ability to preserve the demand of Kedusha, as demanded by Hashem and explained by the Chachamim. Even in our moments of grief, we need to be able to be Kedusha. He needed to be sure not to convey the message that when he was emotional, he was allowed to violate the rules of Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze. And so therefore the Gemara is very clear that he has to keep a certain distance in order for him to be ready to demonstrate that even in our most trying moments, we are there to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He is the center of our lives, and how He encourages us to utilize those emotions is how we know we will get through. Torah tells us, V'chisiz b'chu zevach todah la'Hashem l'irtzonchem tizbach. When you bring a zevach todah to Hashem, You do it liritzochem, and then immediately afterwards we're told, don't make a chilul Hashem, make a kiddush Hashem. Now, why does the Torah follow the section about bringing a karban todah immediately with the rules of chilul and kiddush Hashem? What's the connection? So Chaim Kanievsky Shalita explains that a person who's kafui tov is kofar beikar. When a person denies good things, so that's like denying everything. And this is a concept we find throughout the time that Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar. That the people, when the people were severely punished, it was due to their lack of hakaras hatov, which led to their constant complaints. The ability to bring a karban todah demonstrates the opposite. That I'm not a kafui tov. And that's the aleph beis of making a kiddush Hashem. I'll become sanctified among the Jewish people. Right, so the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis notes in order to recite a Davish HaBakdusha, a person needs a minion. That is to say, you need a minion to make a Kiddush Hashem. And Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria Zatzal noted a tension between the work of the Musar movement, which stressed the idea of creating a Davrusha Kedusha within each and every individual, versus that of the Kedusha of the community, as Rav Kook Zatzal identified. While the Musar movement needed each individual to work on his sense of self and its perfection, Rav Kook explained that real Kedusha can only exist when an individual lives within a communal context. Why is that so? So Rav Kook explained that while the process of self-growth begins with hispodidus, or focus on the individual to the exclusion of the community, the greatness of man is not achieved fully when the man is by himself. For that, man needs to see himself as a functioning member of society, and thus he needs to be able to appreciate fully what it means to be a kadosh. So for divrei kedusha, we need a minyan. The Torah then spends the bulk of the parasha focused on the Moadei Hashem, the Parshas HaMoadim. And the question has to be raised as to why the Parshas HaMoadim is mentioned in the middle of Chumash Vayikra, where our focus seems to be more on the Kohanim. Focus on something else. So Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita quoted Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, who noted that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, a Kohen functioned for a single day twice a year. For this, he needed a matnos kahuna because he was too busy. As we say in the Torah, that they shouldn't get the land of Israel because he's HaKadosh Baruch Hu was their achuza. It's a pretty good job. The rest of the year, rather, says Rav Shechter, the rest of the year, the job of a kohen was Yoru Mishpatecha Li Yaakov, like the Navi says, Besami Yoru Ben Kodesh L'cho Ben Tamei L'Tohar. And that main job, to be able to be Mora Horar, to be able to teach the rest of the nation, took place on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And so therefore, the Parshas HaMoadim was in Toras Kohanim, in order to be a source of reminder of the Kohanim's primary job. And that primary job was Yoru Mishpatecha LeYaakov, to teach each and every Jew. The last Aliyah in the Parsha spends a lot of time talking about the Lechem HaPanim, and then immediately thereafter, the story of the Mekalel, the one who cursed Hashem. The Torah tells us, Vayitze ben Isha Yisraelis. And where did he go out from? And Rashi cites the opinion of Rav Berechia, as part of a machlokas, that he came out from the story of the Lechem HaPanim, which is the immediate section prior. In other words, this young man, this ben Isha Yisraelis, couldn't understand how it was proper to keep the bread of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 9 days while regular bread goes stale relatively quickly. Now the Mefarshim ask that why would he have come to the conclusion that it was going to go stale? After all, we find Chazal who identified the idea of when the Oli Regalim came to see the Shulchan, they were shown bread that was fresh, oven-baked. And so therefore he should have seen it. Where would he have gotten the error? So Shmuel Brazil Shalita explains that this is the meaning of panim, as in lechem ha-panim. Panim also means the face. It's not just the show bread, it's also the bread of the face. That is to say, says Shmuel Brazil, it reflected the person's outlook of himself. If he saw himself old and stale, then he would look. He would see that into the lechem ha-panim as well. But if he saw his life's mission as unique, and he was the one who was supposed to fulfill it, then the bread appeared fresh and exciting and new to him too. Kemayim haponim el haponim. That like the waters of face to face, that's the way things get seen. We have a responsibility to look onto life in a fresh way, in a fulfilling way, and in that sense, we will be fulfilled by life as well. Finally, in the Haftorah, we close out by saying, Kol nevelo trefa, min ha'ofu min ha'behema lo yochlu ha'kohanim. The Kohanim are not allowed to eat any nevelo or trefa. Now, the truth of the matter is, no one's allowed to eat any nevelo or trefa. So why do we specify that it's a Kohanim-related issue? So Rashi explains that since in the Mikdash there were karbanos that they ate that didn't undergo shechita, one might think that they were able to make changes to the rules or that the rules didn't apply to them in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. But nothing could be further from the truth. And thus the Torah makes the rules clear. You can't do it. Even the Kohanim who have other things and other rules when they're in the Mikdash, they still can't bend those rules. Rav Gidon Rothstein points out that this is often the challenge to the relevancy of timeless Torah law. Sometimes we need proper clarification in a modern context. Clarification is different than rewriting. It isn't the person who lives apart from the rules, it's the context wherein sometimes the rules are different. In context of being in the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes the rules look different. A Shechita is replaced by a Malika, for instance. But that doesn't mean Shechita doesn't apply, and it doesn't mean that Shechita is something that goes out the window. And the same thing is true in a modern context as well. It's not just because we're living in modern times that therefore we don't keep the Torah. We keep the Torah in all times. We just have to make it something that's central to our lives in a timeless sort of fashion. Shabbat Shalom to all.